Welcome to First Reading, the Old Testament lectionary podcast for whoever you are. I'm Reverend Dr. Rachel Wren, and I teach biblical studies at Trinity Lutheran Seminary at Capital University.
I'm Paul Essen, a PhD student in Hebrew Bible at Yale University. And here is another episode with two of us and two others of our co-hosts who are not here today, but are present with us in a different format. And we want to say shout out to you, Rosie and Tim, wherever you are. We have two first reading passages. Most likely we're going to get into the Psalm since Rachel is reading Psalm 71. Rachel, what are you doing?
You know me well, Paul. Yeah. So part of the reason that I went with the Psalm is because I'm me, right? Like, that's just, that's my favorite thing to do. But the other reason is because we have an interview, a past interview with Brent Strawn on Jeremiah 1, verses 4 through 10. And he really gets into some interesting places about, like, these call stories of the prophets, how Jeremiah refers to himself as, you know, as a young boy, as a child, and how that might work literally and how that might work metaphorically as well. So great interview. So if y'all are interested in preaching Jeremiah 1, I would suggest finding that in our past episodes. I have been working a lot with the Psalms lately. I'm teaching a class on the Psalms for the first time. And I'd be curious to know, Paul, if you feel this too, but like when I've really studied something, I find that the more I've studied it, actually, the harder it is to teach because it's like, I know too much. Does that resonate? Yeah, okay.
It does. Yeah, my difficulty is like, now I have too many things. Like, where do I start from?
Yes, exactly. So I've been doing that, and I've been writing a Bible study on for Augsburg Fortress on this series of Psalms as well. So thankfully for our listeners, I've been really culling through my brain of what I know about the Psalms and trying to pull out what is actually useful for preaching and teaching moments. Mm-hmm. So we're in Psalm 71 today. We don't have a lot to do in terms of historical context, in part because we're in the Psalms, and the Psalms typically aren't making references to historical places or times or people. So there's not a lot to do with that in here. But there is a lot to do with literary stuff. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to start us out in Psalm 71, verse 1, and look at the metaphor that the psalmist uses right away, and then talk a little bit about how that metaphor functions in this psalm, in this poem, then how that metaphor functions in the book of the Psalter as well, and then kind of end with a couple of preaching ideas. So in Psalm 71, it starts out in the very first line with this from the NRSV, "In you, O Lord, I take refuge." And in the Hebrew, that's Becha Adonai, in you, O Lord, chasiti. Mm-hmm. So it's a verb, and the verb itself is from chasa, which means to take refuge. So right away, in the very first verse of the psalm, God is presented as a place. And it's, you know, I mean, you can take refuge in a person or in an idea, but really, especially at this time period when we're thinking taking refuge, it means a place of refuge, a place where you can go to be saved. So it's interesting. You know, I think we today think about God as person, and we think about God as spirit, and we think about God as kind of movement. But the solidity of this image, God as place, might be an interesting way to start a sermon and kind of like just trigger people's brains in a good way, in a way that they might not have been activated before.
The way you describe it here makes a lot of sense to me, especially when I think of verse 1 and 3 together, right? There's this language of rock.
Yeah, right.
God being rock, right? And rock also functioning as refuge, which for me, like, that feels like a place for me, right? Like a solid place to take shade, you know?
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, it's fun because the psalm is playing right away, right? "In you, O Lord, I take refuge." So that's a place. "Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me." So then that's kind of like, obviously they're playing with multiple metaphors here, because a place doesn't have an ear that it can incline, right? A place is solid. It doesn't have bodily members. But then in verse 3, we go back to the place metaphor. Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. And I just want to, you know, pause on the Hebrew here, because rock of refuge is interesting. You know, we have hymns that kind of deal with this image, and we have ideas. But if you think about it for a minute, like, what would make, and this would be, again, interesting to do with your congregation, is just ask them to think, or if you're really feeling bold, ask them to talk to each other. What makes a rock a place of refuge? Like, what would be like, I'm in need of help, and I would look at a rock and be like, there's my refuge. You know, it depends on your context. If you are in a context that floods regularly, then a rock of refuge would be something very high, you know, something that you could be placed upon and be safe from the waters. This noun here in verse 3 is not so much the rock that you would sit upon. It's letzur ma'on. And ma'on is sort of like a hidden place. So another way that that you could talk about this would be a rock of a hidden lair, a hidden cave, or my hiding place. And I kind of love that idea, you know, especially theologically, the idea that salvation is hidden inside suffering, that God, the immortal one, is hidden inside a human body. And then here, this idea that we hide ourselves in God. I think that's a really powerful image that could preach in a lot of different ways. You know, that to be hidden in God means that you are placing yourself in a safe place. But also, you know, if you kind of play with the game of hide and seek, then you're placing yourself somewhere to ultimately be found. So this could be a really interesting kind of way to play with the idea of evangelism to the world. How do we see evangelism as actually hiding ourselves in God, enveloping ourselves in God? So I just, you know, I think there's so much that can be done with this text and just with this one metaphor. If you keep rolling with it, it shows up in different ways. So in verse 4, rescue me, O God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp, the unjust and cruel. So refuge is now not just place, it's not hidden place, it's actually rescuer. So it's, you know, it's kind of an outward movement. Yeah. So there's, you know, this poor psalmist, like there's a lot that they need to be saved from, apparently. But then the way I'll kind of close up this image is in verse 6, and an image is introduced that's taken up again in verse 9 and actually verse 18 as well. So Psalm 71, verse 6, upon you I have leaned from my birth. It was you who took me from my mother's womb. Here it's refuge as midwife. So, you know, you think about a baby being born into the world, and Paul, like, you've had recent experience with this, right? If a baby is born, they need to be caught. They need to be held. They need to be cared for. They need the refuge of a midwife's arms. So God here is pictured as, you know, arms that are a place, again, a place of refuge for this helpless little baby. And then that age image and refuge is drawn in again in verse 9. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength is spent. So this idea of aging as a process that eventually will require refuge for us, you know, refuge almost in that sense of like refuge from our own bodies as they age. Yes. So then you return back to this idea of us being hidden in God. And then, you know, just the echo of this verse is taken up in verse 18. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me. I just, you know, until I proclaim your might to all the generations to come. I just think there's so much fun things to play with in this image what is refuge? What do we need refuge from? And how does God show up as refuge in these multiple ways?
I do think that the theme of refuge is relevant, and it's timely too, right? Because like I'm looking around and I'm listening to the news and I'm watching what's going on. Like in recent times, California suffered like a series of, you know, fire threats that destroyed a lot of property. And in recent times, we've had like this rhetoric of like immigrants and they being a threat to this country and not knowing what to do with them, documentedness and undocumentedness and language of deportation and fleeing and stuff like that. And what I'm asking myself right now is, in this context, the language of refuge resonates because for immigrants, then it's like, how do we present God to them as one in whom they might find safety and one in whom they might find home and rest, you know, and find a place where they are safe. Yeah. You know, here in the psalm, I think the first thing that the psalmist is seeking refuge from is the language of shame, right? In verse 1, it says, like, let me never be put to shame, and so I take refuge in you, O Lord, right? And then in verse 3, forward, this language of save me. And although it's not really an explicit mention of what it's being saved from, in 4, we see, like, the hand of the wicked one. Yeah. And then from the grasp of unjust and cruel, like cruelty and wickedness and unjust. Mm-hmm. Some of it are like orchestrated, others of it are also somewhat natural, right? And the things that happen to us because we're in the world. But either way, whether it is from the hand of people who intentionally invent wickedness or wickedness that befall us without explanation, the answer that the psalmist provides for us is the same, that in God, we find rest, we find refuge, we find safety, and shame is taking away and the infliction that the wicked one, the cruel one puts upon us is taking away. And that even like adds another layer of beauty and encouragement, as you have rightly said, Rachel.
Yeah. No, I think all of that is so relevant, Paul. And I could picture, you know, if you've got an urban church that has a lot of refugees or has been invested in the refugee program in the ELCA or the United States, like this gives you a really great platform to talk about those issues in a way that, you know, we are called to mirror what God is to us. And in this psalm, God is refuge to us. And so how can we be refuge to people who, through no fault of their own, are living under really traumatic, violent circumstances? If you have a congregation that is resistant to those, you know, this might function as a word of law in your, to use the Lutheran term, the word of law in your congregation. Maybe it'd be a timely word. Maybe it's something that you want to kind of come around to the back door. You know, sometimes when you got a hot button issue, just naming the issue is enough just to start the conversation. Yep. Just starting the conversation about it. So I could see this being used in a couple of different ways. But whatever you do, folks, don't lose the sight of the beautiful gospel in this psalm that, you know, again, God is the refuge, the one who stays our whole life long and even after.
That's right. That's really fantastic work that you've done here, Rachel, on the Psalms of 71. And I'm pretty sure that our preachers will find a lot of wonderful ideas and preaching tips from. All right, preachers, this is a wonderful place that I think we could leave you thinking about the word refuge in God as rock. I think that's a wonderful thing to ruminate and to think about over the week as you prepare for your sermon. Remember that you could find a backlog of hundreds of episodes that we've made in the past on this website, firstreadingpodcast.com, if you're watching us. And on YouTube, you can also find us on First Reading. If you care to make a donation or leave us a review or write us an encouraging comment or a feedback, we will gladly read it and receive it in good faith. Thank you very much for staying with us. And until we meet next time, my name is Paul Esser.
And I'm Rachel Wren. Happy preaching.